power, and he is great.
I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on his face. Surely the presence of the Lord.
Sing it from your heart. Oh, surely. Sing it to him. Hallelujah. Sing it.
His power and his grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on his face.
Yes, now surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't it so good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning? Are you glad to be a Christian? You know what? If Brother Donnie had been 20 years old, we wouldn't have had a pastor here this morning. And about two or three of you went with him. I believe he'd have flew out of here. He was feeling good last night, wasn't he? Did you feel good with him? Aren't you glad for the presence of the Lord? Aren't you glad for the word of the Lord? Aren't you glad how it's changed you? Are you glad there's been a change? Oh, you can beat that. Give him a real good hand clap of praise. Oh, now surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his amazing grace.
Of angels' wings, I see his glory on his face.
Oh, now surely the presence of the Lord is. I want you to sing it again one more time. Surely
the presence,
sing it,
of the Lord. Of angels' wings, I see glory on his face.
Well, now surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, yes, it is. Amen. Aren't you so glad you can come to a place and feel the change in power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? And there's churches, buildings, peoples. We're flawed human beings. We're not any better than anybody in this world. The only difference between us and ever who else is what God has put in our hearts and the change that he's made in our life. That's the difference. If you can gloat or you can brag about anything, it's got to be on Him. It's not on our flesh, because we're just human beings. But aren't you glad that somebody loved you enough to change you from what you was into a son or a daughter of the Most High King? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say amen right then. Say it again. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a bit while we look at our prayer request this morning. Brother West wants us to remember Sister Lisa in prayer. She's at home. Very intense pain in her back, so we certainly want to pray for Sister Lisa, that the Lord would just be mindful of her, give her a touch from the Lord. Brother David Richard. How many of you know who Brother David Richard is? There's a few. Brother David, you care to just stand up just 1 second? This is Brother David Richard. Brother David Richard. God bless you, brother. Brother Sammy Hubbard and Sister Jewel and David became acquainted. And I guess you may live close to them. They begin to witness to him and tell him just exactly what goes on here on this hill and about the word of the Lord. Well, he became interested. And the more he heard, the more he became interested. I think he spent about 12 to 14 hours solid listening and reading and listening to tapes, studying and trying to find out what in the world is so different about what these people on this hill believe. Well, the Lord has changed his life. He got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ here just a few weeks ago. The Lord has come into his life and completely he has done a 180. Not a 360, because that'd point him right back to where he was going, but he done a 180. Aren't you glad for the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. We're so thankful to have Brother David as a part of our assembly in this group. He offers this testimony this morning. Since I have been saved and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my life has been wonderfully changed in every way. Just a couple of days ago, I was offered a job of a lifetime working for the state of Virginia. I feel the blessings of the Lord every day. I'm so thankful to be on His side. Through this new job, I'm going to get to do the Lord's work every day. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Brother Jerry Glenn offers this testimony this morning. We had prayer for Mrs. Tony Isley. She showed signs of Crohn's disease. After prayer was made, the tests were run. She came back with the results that said she is completely well. They want to say praise the Lord for that this morning. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Keith Phillips says, I start round 2 of chemo, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please pray that my platelets, my blood clotting factors stabilize and come back up. Brother Keith, we'll just commit you to the hands of Almighty God right here and right now. God's able to fix that for you, buddy. We believe that. I want to pray for Sister Elizabeth Collins, that God will give her the strength that she needs. She has had a very difficult time with issues in her body, so we'd want to remember that sister in prayer, that the Lord would be mindful. I want to pray for the family of Brother Clinton Gibby. He passed away last evening, so we certainly want to pray for that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them during this season of their life. God's able to help them. We believe that, don't we? Sister Brenda Harmon says to remember the family of Helen Burgess, who passed away Friday. That is a pastor's wife, so we want to remember that family, that church family, in prayer. Also, remember Sister Brenda, as she will be having nerves fused in her back on Wednesday, and she's asking that we would remember her in prayer, so let's remember that. Want to keep in prayer Sister Katie Larindu. She is doing a little better, but still very weak. Please remember Rex Todd and Mrs. Custer in your prayers. This is my cousin's wife's dad and grandmother, and both are dying at the same time, and the family needs their prayer, so let's just commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Barbara Grabley, who sees her dentist tomorrow for an abscessed tooth, so let's pray that that would work out, and then
Brother Donnie mentioned last night, Sister Patty Nunley went an emergency surgery. She's doing much better, and we want to praise the Lord for that. We certainly want to pray for all in our assembly that are sick, different things going on in their lives, different kinds of sickness. But we know God is a healer. He's already healed every one of us. He has already healed every one of us. By His stripes, we were healed. May our faith just believe what He has already done. All of you unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, how many of you know God is able? Amen. Somebody say it with me. God is able. Brother Amos, come this morning. Brother Amos is not even here. He's out of town. Brother Wes, you come this morning. I remember seeing that he is, he's out of town. Come and pray. Let's all stand together, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We love you, buddy. Love you, brother. Appreciate you, Brother Wes.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, a man is only as good as his word. And your word is perfect. Lord, we believe you when you say that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, you didn't have to humble yourself and come down. You didn't have to show mercy and grace to us. You didn't have to offer us healing and justification and sanctification and the baptism of your Spirit into our very lives, Lord. You didn't have to do any of that. You are the great one, the great creator, the merciful God who's given us all these things freely because of your great love. Lord Jesus, there is no word higher than yours. Your word will never bend, it'll never break, it'll never pass away. When heaven and earth are gone, your word will still stand strong. You are our God, and we stand here as your people. Believe in you, Lord. For each and every one of these requests, Lord, we believe you. We believe you, Lord. You are our God. You're our Father. You're our everything. We turn over the rest of this service into your hands, Lord. We want to lift you up. We want to praise you. We want to lift you up to the place where your glory will shine, Lord God, like the sun. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. We praise you. We lay our lives down at your feet because we know you are worthy. You are worthy to give everything to, Lord. We hold nothing back this morning. We look for you to come, Lord, out onto this pulpit in a few minutes through the mouth of your servant. We look to hear your words. We believe you with all of our hearts, Lord God. Help us to open our hearts, open our ears to receive you with everything we've got and leave nothing, Lord, behind. Help us to leave this place today, Lord, better than we came in. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts, and we seek to praise you. Help us to be able to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithing offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand this morning, if you will. Let's see if we can sing this song together this morning. It's a good song. We sung it a lot. Let me make this announcement just before we sing. Teen and youth, adult, young adult Bible study in the fellowship hall from 6 until 8 p.m. on Monday night. Brother Wes wants you to know that. Be here. You're going to have a wonderful time. I do promise you that. Let's sing a song this morning. Please forgive me. You might have said, I ain't done nothing. You've done everything. You're guilty of all of it. Please forgive me, Lord. Is that right? How many of you need His forgiveness every day of our life? Praise the Lord. Let's sing it this morning, if you will. Sing it, buddy.
My sleep is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down.
Oh, yes.
I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground.
Oh, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you.
I'm at your mercy. Till my dying day.
Oh, help others find the way at your mercy. Please forgive me.
I can't believe the God of earth and glory, you would take the time to care for one like me. I read in the Bible that story, how you pled for my forgiveness when you was hanging on the tree.
So please forgive me.
Yes, Lord, I need
your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy.
Lord, I'll serve you.
Lord, we're going to serve you
until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy.
Oh, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Oh,
find a way at your mercy.
Please forgive me. Sing that second verse again.
I can't believe the God of earth and glory.
Thank you, Lord.
You would take the time to care for one like me. Oh, but I read in the Bible that old story, how you paid for my forgiveness while you was hanging on the tree.
Oh, please forgive me.
Yes, Lord,
I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you.
I'm at your mercy. Find the way at your mercy. Please forgive me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Anna Lynch, if you come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing, let's sing this little song together this morning. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I had a new birth.
Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away.
It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church.
When Jesus came, He was let down. There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. But He had a plan.
Oh, yes, He did.
For a house that shall forever stand. Spoke these words upon this rock. I built my church.
I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church.
When Jesus came, He was left out. There was no place where he was welcome here on earth. But he had a plan.
Yes, he had a plan.
For the house that shall forever stand. He spoke these words upon this rock. I'll build
one more time. My church. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join.
I was born. I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm going to rapture away.
It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. We're in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. We were born, we had a new birth.
Some glorious day, I'm gonna rapture away.
It's by His grace, not by my works. 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 We're in this church. This church, it's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. We've had a birth.
It's a glorious day. We're gonna rapture away.
It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church.
Jesus came. He was left out. There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. But He had a plan.
Oh, He had a plan.
For a house that shall forever stand. He spoke these words upon this rock. I'll
say it like you believe it.
Church.
Well, I'm in this church.
In this church.
It's a glorious church. I did not join.
I was born. I had a new birth. I'm gonna sail away by His grace, not by my works. I'm in
I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I've had a birth.
Some glorious day, I'm gonna rapture away.
By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Oh, it's by His grace. By His grace. Amen. God bless you. Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for you. You can be seated.
Your blood makes the deaf to hear. Right now, Your blood takes away the curse. Right now, Your blood heals every disease. Right now, Your blood sets the captive free. Right now and I still believe You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I still believe Your blood is sufficient for me. Your blood mends the broken heart. Right now, Your blood compels me to forgive. Right now, Your blood transforms my mind. Right now, Your blood brings the dead to life. Right now,
He's here. Let's be careful how we act here today, because he's here. He's here. I'll give you just a little something to think about this morning. I know we can't all hang from these chandeliers. They wouldn't hold us all. We can't all run because the room ain't big enough. But I'm going to tell you something. If there's ever a time we got enthused and got excited about what we believe, it's high time. It's high time. I'm going to tell you, the state of Pennsylvania is probably in shambles this morning. Because last night, it's all over the sports. I saw just a little clip of it. It's all over the sports world. Fourth down. 4 seconds on the clock. Penn State's behind 2 points. Fourth down. And 7 yards to go. 4 seconds on the clock. The quarterback goes back. He throws the ball. And a receiver runs in it under the ball and catches it. Pennsylvania's not the same this morning. Because that's their home school. They got excited to death. They got enthused. You know what? Brother Bradman said, we're almost at midnight. The clock's getting ready to strike midnight. It's fourth down. You're running for your life. You're going to score the winning touchdown. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has already said you're going to win. You are going to win. You're going to be healed. You're going to be set free. Sing it this morning. Let these words soak into your life, into your heart this morning. Sing it with all your heart.
You know, help me, because I think they've got the words up there now.
Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here. And I receive it. Oh, healing is here. Healing is here. My healing is here. Oh Lord, and I believe it. And I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes to where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. 'Cause my freedom is here. Oh, our freedom is here. Freedom is here. Oh, and I receive it. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here.
Hallelujah.
And I believe it.
Praise God.
Sickness can't stay.
Amen.
Any longer.
Amen.
Perfect love is casting out fear. My life is here. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love, it is casting out fear. You are the God,
the mighty God,
all power, and it is your will. My life is here.
Glory to God. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are blessed people to be able to experience such an awesome presence of Almighty God. Amen. I hope we never take it for granted.
Amen.
I hope we always appreciate it. Know that He don't owe us anything.
Amen.
He's not obligated in any way to do anything for any of us. He's obligated to His Word.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. I've felt Him and sensed Him since I was a little boy. And I've never got tired of it.
Amen.
I get overwhelmed by it. Amen. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon again, if you would, today. Chapter 4, verse 10, we'll speak on the wedding night. His presence being among us. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine. And the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up. A fountain sealed. Of course, in verse 16, she asked him to come, enter into his garden. Chapter 5 is his response to that. I am come. I am come. I have arrived. My presence is here. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. Lord, children, can we really appreciate what those words mean? I am come into my garden. At one time, we was filthy, low down, sorry, rotten, good for nothing. And now Almighty God says, I am come into you. You are my garden. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, oh beloved. Let's pray together. How many like to be remembered today before the Lord? Amen. Heavenly Father, sometimes in your great presence, we don't know what to say. I know for sure I'm going to have to be changed to be able to see you that day. I'm going to have to be changed to be able to live in your great presence. I believe our human bodies would only be able to take so much of it. I think of John on the Isle of Patmos. He was so overwhelmed by seeing the vision of the resurrected Son of Man that he said, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not. I am he that was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. Truly, our flesh can only take so much of the glory and the magnificence of God. But how we rejoice today, knowing that there is a body waiting for us, when we will be able to live in this awesome presence forever and ever and ever. Praise God. It'll never wear us out. It'll never be an element of fear. Lord Jesus, may there not be a one of us that's here today be absent at that time. You saw the hands that were uplifted signifying a need. May you grant that need today. Lord, I stand here, I'm sure, the most needy person in the building. It's fallen my lot to try to take your word, speak something to your children. Lord, most of them have heard me preach long enough to know I'm no preacher. All I can try to do is study and apply myself and just call on you to come. So that's what we're doing today, Lord. We're calling on you. Come, speak to us your word. Grant it, Father. Bring healing, freedom, deliverance, peace, power. For you are here, and where you are, those things happen. Grant it, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. It's wonderful to be in his presence, isn't it? Be a believer. Be a Christian. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. He responds to her petition with a very simple response initially. I am come. I imagine there's much about the presence of God that we are still yet to learn. How God reveals himself in his presence. One of the Greek words that Paul used in the New Testament, which was manifestly to be declared in the scriptures that he used, it was phanerio. And that is taking something that is invisible, let it striking an image, and it becomes visible. Making it known, making it manifest, which is where the word gets its meaning. Making it manifest. Myself, I certainly desire his presence. I have it in my life. Many of you have it in your life. But I want it to be greater, don't you? Not so much that people would say, oh, there's a man, oh, there's a holy man, oh, there's a man of God. You know, he prays, this happens, that happens. That will come with it, but to me, I want it just so I can have it in his presence. Because I know in his presence are joys forevermore. In his presence, it will direct me and keep me more in harmony and in the paths of righteousness of what he wants me to be. So to me, I desire that in a great way. I've seen miracles and supernatural. I've always had that in my ministry. Even before I came to the message when I was in Pentecost, I saw many miracles and many supernatural things. And believe me, there's many that goes on to this very day. I don't fabricate it. I don't go and, you know, make it up. I don't put out magazines so you can think I'm some great something. We just do it and it goes on. But the supernatural God is in our midst, believe me. But I don't just want it so that people would flock around the man and say, well, you know, this man can do this and this man can do that. But I want it so that I can be able to blend in better harmony with the presence of my Lord. Because this is truly one of the reasons I believe that I was created, was to be able to render back to him the honeycomb, the wine, the milk, all of that which he has given to me and deposited in my life. Then he will allow me by the Spirit of God to be able to nurture those things in my garden, and I will be able to turn and give it back to him in a fold that has been magnified in the way that he gave it to me. If it is simply the same size it was when I received it, then I've not grown. God has deposited in each of us these great attributes, which we've read, the honey, the milk, the honeycomb. All those things are placed in us in minute, small form when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Our heart becomes that garden by which is fertile ground that God wants it to grow. Then you take the nutrients of the Spirit of God and allow it to grow in your life. Does he want to just come back and find that if he gave you 5 talents, you have 5 back? If he gave you 3, you give him 3 back. If he gave you 1, you give him 1 back. We know that's not what he wants. But he wants for us to take that very thing and let it become embellished and grow and become personified and magnified than whenever he gave it to us, maybe it's a teaspoon of honey. But when we give it back to him, we give him back a gallon in his place. He gave us just a little tiny bit of honeycomb and a little bit of butter and milk and this and that and the other. Whenever we bring it back, it is a whole wagon load. Oh my.
Because in His divine presence is where all these things become greater, and they become expressed in a greater form. And truly, this is the reason that we are brought on the earth. Now, may the Lord help me today, and may the Lord help you. Let us take a little venture if we can. We've been into the back part of God's mind several times in our tenure here as mortals, as we feast upon the unfading body word of the Son of Man. But let us go briefly there again, that we might be able to break into that which was in His great being. And that was that the eternal desired to become tangible, or He desired to become a man. There was no one above Him. There was no one like Him. There was no one that could be able to perceive what He was. So He must condescend and bring something into existence which will be lower than Himself. So the whole thing is Elohim becoming tangible. If God would have created His only begotten Son in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden. Now let's journey, if we will, for just a few moments before we go into this further apocalypsis of the Son of Man. May we go and realize that God in the beginning had the order of sons by which He placed in the Garden of Eden. And we know that Adam was the created son of God. And that was the order that God chose first to put into the Garden of Eden. But what if God would have changed the order around somewhat and would have brought forth the first Son of God, which was not Adam. The first Son of God, which was from the eternal, was actually the Logos, which was the Lord Jesus Himself. Now, Adam was the created Son of God, but created Son of God once time began. But before Adam was the Son of God, it was that the Logos was the Son of God. And I remember it was not Jesus so much in human form, because He'd never received a human form. But it was that form of God in the act of condescension by which God started to step down and reveal Himself. And He gave Himself this identity which He would call a son. As I read it to you last night, that He loved fatherhood, and in order to become a father, He must become the Son of Man. But if God would have brought forth Jesus as to be the first son in the Garden of Eden, and instead of Adam being in the Garden of Eden, it would have been Jesus in this Logos form, then God would have given His bride, the Jesus bride, to Him in the Garden of Eden. Then you and I would have bypassed the realm of mortality and the possibility of shortcoming and failure. So it would have been the Logos Christ there in the Garden of Eden. He would have been given a bride, which would have been a bride which could have never fallen. Then we know that all of this that we see in time, sickness and suffering and difficulty, it would have never been in existence, because the first Son of God and His wife, the bride, which is you now, you would have never fallen had you came first in the Garden of Eden. You follow me now? Now, the only reason that you could have fallen and even make mistakes after you become born again now is because of the order that God gave you. So this is an order which has been allowed by God in the permissive God, a will of God. If God would have brought forth Jesus, and then He would have given Jesus His bride, which is the Word, because the Son of Man is the Word, then the whole story of the Garden of Eden would have been different. So the order of sonship is very important. Had it been from the Father, the Eternal, He steps into the office of fatherhood, and then He must condescend from fatherhood into sonship in order to, by the power of begettal, expand His own creation, that He might be able to give those the power to become the sons of God. So if He would have come from that great Eternal, and the Logos would have been in the Garden of Eden, and the Logos would have been given a bride then, the very same bride now, you would have been there then as you are now, but it would have been the very same bride, but the order would have been changed. Then the order would have been that Adam would have came after Jesus. But because Adam came before Jesus in the Garden of Eden, then that made a way where Adam would be able to fall. So Adam then was not a son of man. You'll never find the Bible ever calling Adam a son of man. Adam was actually called a son of God. He was a son of God by creation. Now, he was not the begotten son of God, but he was the created son of God. You with me so far? Now, he was the created Son of God, and then the type of wife which he was given was also a created wife. But created in that they would be able to fall if they chose to do so. So they were created in the stage of probation, by which in that probationary period, they would be able to make their choice if they want to stay with the Word or fall away from the Word. But even after they did that, he was still a Son of God. Now, I know this is difficult for people to comprehend, but the seed line had not been totally corrupted after Adam fell. And this is why that righteousness would proceeded right on down into Genesis chapter 6. And then once the sons of God saw the daughters of men, then there was no longer a pure bloodstream upon the earth. But God, having this in his plan, so the order of sonship is such a powerful thing in the way that God deals with his people as far as dispensation is concerned. I realize people look at Son of God, Son of David, Son of Man, Son of Abraham, and think, what's the big deal about it? What difference does it make? Well, the order of sonship coming from the presence of God has such an effect upon everything that God is going to do. Now, the order of sonship of adding being before Jesus was what allowed this whole thing to come into view upon the earth. Had Jesus been before Adam in the Garden of Eden, and Jesus would have walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and Jesus would have named the animals, and Jesus would have done all that Adam did, then there would have never been a fall, never could have been a fall, but it was the order of the sonship that God allowed to come on the on the earth in the Garden of Eden was what allowed the permissive will of God to express itself through a created son instead of a begotten son. Now, the Bible, of course, calls the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, Jesus himself speaking about himself, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Now, notice the word that Jesus uses. He calls himself the only begotten Son of God. Now, it does not refer to himself in the sense that he was the created Son of God, even though he was in the form of Logos, but now he's talking about his humanity as he comes on the earth. So it was in this channel now that the Son of God would bring back those which had fallen out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And that was, he would not create another son and put another son in the Garden of Eden and say, well, here's another created son. But he would use the channel or the venue of begotten. And how was he begotten? Of course, he was begotten through a woman. Why? He must gain the name or title not only as Son of God. He was already Son of God. That went out of God, the Lord God's the Father in the beginning. You understand? He was already Son of God. He must become Son of Man. Now, Son of Man is this part which identifies him to the earthly inheritance of the earth. He was a royal grant given to him being a son of Abraham, but God wanted him to have the entirety of the earth itself. So he must become a Son of Man. He's going to do this through begetting him through a woman. So God will beget Jesus a human body, and he will use a woman's womb. He will borrow that womb, and then he will create the seed of life inside the woman. You follow me? He will create the seed of life inside the woman, and he will be called the only begotten Son of God. Now, you are not begotten like that. God never moved upon your mother and caused your mother to bring forth you. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. He had to become that in order to become Son of Man. Now, why is your relation to Son of Man so important? So that you would be able to come back to your original inheritance, and that is eternal life in a human body. We've never been there yet. We bypassed that. We had to come this way in the element of time that the attributes of God would be fully expressed. But God wants us to be brought back to that same spot, that we would not be begotten sons of God, but created sons and daughters of God living on the earth in a human body. Heaven is wonderful. Heaven will be beautiful. But God never made heaven for human beings. He made the earth for human beings to be taken out of and to live upon the face of the earth. And we live here now, of course, in this cursed condition and this cursed body. But this is not your end, my friends. Let me just sound a trumpet to you today. This is not the end of your life by the coming of the Son of Man through the power of God being begotten through a woman than it was how the Son of Man would come upon the earth. So he identifies himself as Son of Man. In other words, it would be so the power of God would be released so other sons of men would be transformed into sons of God. Oh, glory to God. He himself being revealed in the form as Son of God. Had he stayed in that invisible form as being the Logos, you and I still would not be redeemed today. So the power of redemption must move beyond Son of God. Coming up through the church ages, it was a wonderful thing. He was revealed to them in the form of Son of God in the church ages. But remember, they put him out. I hate to say it this way, I hope you understand it. But in one sense, the word, I'm glad they did. Because when they put him out, it made a way for him to re-enter again as the form of Son of Man. If they had not put him out, there'd be no need for him to further reveal himself, you listen to me, under the administration of the Son of Man. So what did it do? It brought him back then in the last day, in this last little increment of time at the very closing of the Laodicean church age. They put him out. He's standing outside on the door trying to get in. But they put him out as what? Son of God. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they put him out and he stands in Genesis 3:20 and said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the bride during this time, of course, is getting ready. Oh my, she's getting ready for a rapture. And she beckons him to come. And amen. What's his response? I am come. I am here. They put me out as Son of God, but you have opened your heart. I have come, amen, as the Son of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I must manifest myself as Son of Man because the kingdom is so close to the earth. The kingdom is so close to coming to pass. It requires the revealing of the Son of Man when the bride and the groom will be joined together. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me read this again today. I read it last night, but let me read it again. Brother Man said Jesus has four titles as Son in the Gospels. One of them is the Son of David. One of them is the Son of Abraham. Another, the Son of Man. Another, the Son of God. Now watch, when our kinsman redeemer became Jesus Christ, he became the Son of David, which is heir to the throne. He heirs the throne by being a son of David. God told him back there he would never leave David, never leave him without a seed. And Christ is the son of David. And he become our kinsman redeemer. Now notice the order of sonship by which God is revealing. It was the order of sonship that allowed the fall to take place in the Garden of Eden. So the correct order of sonship will bring back restitution and restoration not only for the earth, but the entire family of God. The whole family of God, amen. Every one of those attributes that's on the book of life must be restored, but it must be through the proper order of sonship. Amen. If God would allow you to have been born first supernaturally, you'd never be where you are today. But through the permissive will of God, he allowed you to be born unregenerate, lost, out here in the world of darkness. Then God allowed your soul to be born first. Amen. That's the order of the sonship. Why? We are begotten by God by the message of the day. Amen. Notice he says he became our kinsman redeemer and waiting. I'm getting a place ready where he can reign with us. Glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. As the son of David, he is heir to the throne. As the son of Abraham, he's heir to the royal grant. Now, the royal grant is considered the land of Palestine, of course, by which God promised Abraham and his seed. But remember, Jesus is not just a son of Abraham. He must be the son of God, which he was, and he must be the son of David, and he is also going to be the son of man. So the royal grant of Palestine would only mean that Jesus' dominion would be in the land of Palestine in the millennium. But his grant must be beyond. So the royal grant, being a son of Abraham, is the land of Palestine. But being the son of God, he becomes heir of all things. Being the son of man, he inherits the entire earth. So if he wants to get rid of the sea, he can do that because it's his. If he wants to get rid of diseases and germs and sickness, he can do that because he inherited it. If he wants to bring a change upon the face of the earth and cause the crust of the earth to burn for hundreds of miles down, he can do whatever he wants. It's his. Amen. Notice now, he said he's an heir to the royal grant, amen, Palestine, and all that's in her, Abraham's seed. He was the son of Abraham. As the son of man. What does son of man? What did man lose? He lost the earth. Now Adam, even though he was in the land of Egypt, there somewhere in the Mesopotamia, near that great Kidron Valley, all those valleys there, he was in that part of the earth. He wasn't even over here in America. But yet if God had this plan, he did not want to redeem just Palestine. He did not just want to redeem Egypt and Mesopotamia and Babylon, Iran, Iraq, all that Middle Eastern part of the world. But he wanted to redeem the entire earth. So he gives Jesus in the title of one of his names, dispensational claims, to be son of man. In other words, son, I will give you the entirety, the title deed to the whole earth. I'll let you change it. I'll let you rearrange it. Just do whatever you want to. It's yours. So what did he want to do? He wanted a body from it. So he took a deposit from the bowels of the earth himself and said, I want this earth so much, make me a body out of the earth. Make me a body out of the earth. Then, Father, you know what I want? I want these attributes which I'm packing here in this book. I want them to have bodies out of the earth too. I want to be a human and I want my bride to be humans. Oh my, as son of man, he's heir to everything in the earth. All this he's got, and he has given it back to us, then he's returning back as he was. Praise God. Then, as the son of God, he inherits all things. As the son of David, heir to the throne, son of Abraham, heir to the royal grant. As son of man, he's heir to the earth. As son of God, he's heir of all things in heaven and earth. Oh my, there's our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer. Again, in Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, Jesus in the gospel had four titles. We brought that son of David, heir to the throne, son of Abraham, the royal grant, son of man, heir of the earth. So the administration of the son of man is so identified with the redeemed possession of the earth. So when we see the link or the association of the son of man under a dispensational claim, his work is not only there to move in the hearts, but move in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice whenever Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is cast into the fiery furnace, and the king looks in and he says, I see four men in there. Did not we cast three? Who's the fourth? He said, the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Not Son of Man. But when Daniel sees him, he sees the fifth kingdom of the world. And when he sees the fifth kingdom of the world by vision, he sees who? The Son of Man. Oh my. In the Old Testament, property could not be held any longer than 50 years. It could not be annihilated from its original owner but 50 years. And on the 40th day, he paid the price. On the 50th day, which is Pentecost, of course, the redemption and the power that belonged to the church that was lost in the Garden of Eden was redeemed back and sent to us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Donnie, you mean that we've got something today that Adam never had? We sure do. Now, we've not fully got into our inheritance yet as far as the earth is concerned, but I've already been put farther back in God than Adam ever started. Lord have mercy. When Adam was brought on the earth and made a man, a son of God, he was a son of God that could backslide and fall. But if you're sitting here today filled with the Holy Ghost, you can never backslide. You can never never break that seal. You are already farther back in God right here in the midst of Laodicea. How it must make our Father rejoice when he sees his children living in an age of darkness, an age of turmoil, an age of disease, an age of sickness, and we live right in the middle of hell, and we're not just surviving, we are overcomers. We're not just barely hanging on, we are living a victorious, overcoming life. What is it? The administration of the Son of Man by which you've been drawn unto is overcoming the world. What did the Son of Man do when he appeared to Abraham and Sarah and parted unto them body changing power? What's the Son of Man doing to you? Imparting to you body obedience power. Making your body come subject to the word. I don't want to do this. I don't shut up. I never ask you. You're doing it anyhow. I'm tired. I don't feel like going to have to church. You're going anyhow. What is it? The administration of the Son of Man, Christ the Word, has to do with our earth's inheritance. He displayed his power over Abraham and Sarah's earth. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, this word that's used in the Greek here for son means symbolically. Notice, it's a term of humanity. Indicated by humiliation upon the earth in this type of a body. Jesus actually uses this title more than any other to refer to himself. Now he calls himself the Son of God a couple of different times, but for the most part he is constantly referring to himself as Son of Man. Son of Man. Now remember, the order of sonship has a great importance on what God is doing. Now, they are looking for a king to come with great royal regal power. We'll look at it Wednesday night. They were looking for a great king to unfold like David was and Solomon and some of the great kings of Israel. And Jesus chose the title of Son of Man because it contrasted their thought, and their thought was wrong. So he chooses this title in order to identify himself under his messiahship as the Son of Man. Now, not king this, king that, king something else, but Son of Man. Amen. Identifying himself with what his purpose is on the earth. They were looking for him to come in, knock down the Romans, take all that away. That wasn't what he was there for. He was to knock the devil out of them. Jesus ain't here to take over America, get rid of all the Republicans and all the Democrats. He wants to get the devil out of you. And the main devil that's in you is you. He's the hardest one to get rid of, is yourself. So here Jesus now asks the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now remember, symbolically, this was the fifth kingdom, the fifth kingdom after the four Gentile great powers that Daniel saw. And this was the fifth kingdom, or the rock, by which they came out of heaven and destroyed the image and the feet. So Jesus used this term and identified himself with it that he might designate himself as being the head of the new race which he's fixing to give birth to. Even the disciples asked him, "Lord, will you now restore to us the kingdom of Israel?" He said, "It's not given for you to know the day or the hour which the Father has in his own will." But he said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He's saying, what in the world has that got to do with answering the kingdom? That was the kingdom. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now remember, there's a differentiation between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And this was the kingdom of God becoming on the earth. But it didn't have an earthly throne. It did not have an earthly army. It did not have earthly majesty and earthly glory. It was an invisible kingdom in the heart. And he's going to rule over that kingdom in the hearts by the Spirit of God. So he condescends in the office of Son of Man, identifying himself with who? Guess what? Man, not son of angels, not son of gods. Man. Man. Oh, glory. Notice in Luke, this is the very same word that's used for son. In Luke chapter 3, verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Now, had God chose it, my name could have been there. Lance, your name could have been. Brother Terry, any of you brothers, if God wanted to put you first, your name could have been there. Right? But it's the order of sonship. So Adam was the son of God, not begotten by God. Begotten through a woman. Created son of God. Amen. Now notice in Jesus, when he came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Now he brings it down and he says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Son of God revealed in the form of Son of Man. Now watch. Oh yes, that's what he said. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. The veil of Christ's humanity never, amen, never kept the elect away from seeing who he was. Now you imagine Jesus maybe turning around to Peter and say, Peter, who told you this? You never saw this out of me. You've not seen enough out of me yet to know that, but I'll tell you how you knew it. You've been feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, and my Father has revealed this to you. What was it? An apocalypsis of the Son of Man. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? You are the anointed Son of God in human form, which means you're Son of Man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look how highly pleased our Savior was with this response. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art the Christos, the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. So he was Son of Man and filled with Son of God. Now, Peter's revelation was not contrary to what Jesus asked. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? He said, you're the Son of God. Well, which was he? Both. What are you? Both. Redeemed and unredeemed. Saved and sorry. Good and no good. Account and no account. But it depends on which one you're looking at. The old flesh has God not yet been redeemed, but that soul, my brother, sister. That's a different story. Now watch the prophet as he goes into this in the trial in Tucson. And he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of God coming. When the Son of Man shall be revealed. The Son of Man being revealed, not the Son of God in the church age. He's put out of that. Now he's Son of Man. Revealing himself, the Word is becoming flesh among us. What happened before Abraham and Sarah that day? The Word, God, Elohim, became flesh, Son of Man. Praise God. What did Daniel see in the vision? The Son of Man, a stone becoming a kingdom. That's a pretty good transformation, is it not? What did John see on the Isle of Patmos? And I saw one like unto the Son of Man. This is now in the glorified state. Why? He's referring to his Davidic messianic kingdom, which will come in the millennium. So he sees him as he sees him in Revelation 14, and he's pre-running what's fixing to happen to the Jews. Why? During the tribulation period, it's almost at its end. And the millennium is fixing to happen. And who does John see there in heaven before the millennium takes place? The Son of Man. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Notice this. Now he's Son of Man revealing himself. The Word is becoming flesh among us. And Happy Valley said, unveiling of God. In the last days, he's supposed to return again. A pillar of fire is supposed to return again. Oh, glory. Supposed to come back again to manifest the Son of Man. To show the Word the light. The traditions has been, well, we'll be wiped away. There is nothing going to bother us. You hear that, devil? You hear that, you people that's trying to destroy this? You're wasting your time. You can just as easy stop the sun from shining. You can just as easy stop the moon from shining. You'll never stop this Word. You're beating your brains out against a concrete block wall. It'll never happen. This message comes from God. It is not man-made. There is nothing going to bother it. It's going to be done anyhow. God has teared them denominations and traditions down. Proving his Word. Do you believe we're living in the last days when the Son of Man was to be manifested? Amen. That would be all the Word gathered up through Luther, Wesley, Baptist. Part light is good enough under dispensation of Son of God through the church ages, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the Son of Man is the fullness of the attribute of God. You say, Brother Don, did they have something? Will they be there? Sure they'll be there. Will they be there at that day in the resurrection? Absolutely. The elect in Luther's day will be there. What they have in their day? One horsepower. And they got their old Model A, or their Model L for Luther. They got their old Model L out there. The just shall live by faith. Long come Wesley, boy, they put in a few more horsepower. They revved up that engine, man. You got to be sanctified. You got to be this and that and the other. And then here come Pentecost. Man alive, like a bunch of airplanes. They went to flying over here. What was it? An increase in horsepower. Amen. Now maybe you got old Bessie out there in the garden and you're plowing her up with old Bessie. Which would you rather have, old Bessie or old John Deere? Which would you rather have? Come on now, answer me. Which would you rather have, Bessie or John? All right, now which would you rather have, a small John Deere, which would be fine for a little garden work, or if you're doing some of them in quarter section up in Canada, like they do 740 acres in one square, and you own 20 or 30 of those things, do you want a little bitty garden John Deere, or do you want one of them great old big gigantic John Deeres? Oh, hallelujah. That's got about four wheels on each side. That's the way the rapture is. Amen. It was all right to have old Bessie in the days of Luther. It was an increase to have a John there in the days of Wesley. It was an increase to have a little better in Pentecost. But in this day, we got to sweep the world in a short time. Oh, glory! We can't wait hundreds of years to get this message out. We've got to cover the globe in a short span of time. God's got harvesters. God's got planters. He's got it all. What do we need? More horsepower. So the Pentecostals get on the runway. Flight 3333 in Azusa Street here looking for takeoff. Yeah, I'll fly 333. Go ahead, take off on Azusa Street, 1906. Now, I flew a lot. Let me tell you something. I don't like turbulence. If you do, come see me after church. I'm going to pray for you. You know what? These guys that fly up in these satellites and them rockets and all that sort of thing, turbulence ain't no more nothing than a puff of wind. that goes through it so fast, don't even hardly notice it's even there. Amen. Oh my, what, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Oh, I'm going to try to hold out if I can hold out to next Sunday. Is Brother Donnie going to be in town next Sunday? No, I'm going to be gone. Oh no. Oh no. My plane will crash. I'll never make it. You need a rocket filling, brother. Oh, hallelujah. We are not in the days of airplanes, but we are in the days of astronauts. Amen. What is it? It is a multiplication of more horsepower. Hallelujah. All the word that's gathered up through Luther, Wesley, Baptist, the Pentecostal, gathered up in the revelation of what it's all been. The seventh angel was open, the sixth seal mystery. It's all gathered up in the Son of Man. His fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word. So the fullness of time matches the fullness of the word, which matches the fullness of the attribute of the person of God. So guess what? We're in the fullness. No wonder I feel full. Notice the fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word to manifest the fullness of his body. That's the word then. Then that spoken word made manifest by the word, reveal the word. What will it take? The revealing of the Son of Man. Oh, I can't feel him. I know I love God. Pray for him. I'll be able to hang out. No, it's you so moving into the Word that you and the Word are the same thing. Now, I wanted to give you that to get you ready for the next things. The Son of Man. Look at this, harvest time. The Son of Man. The Word living itself again among people. Jesus said when the Son of Man is being revealed, not man, the Son of Man. Not an organization. The Son of Man. Listen to this, church. The Word living itself among this people, see. The Word itself made flesh in you. Are a reflection of this hour. So how does the seed come? Through the body. It's good to hand out books. Good to hand out tapes, tracks. But the seed passes through the body. Not through a tape player. Praise the Lord. Tape player ain't got no legs. And ain't got no eyes. Remember that Ethiopian eunuch? He was sitting there reading the scriptures of the prophets. So he's sitting there reading prophets' quotes, which is the seed, promise of the hour, but he didn't know what to do. He was left confused. Until a member of the body, which had the seed, which was living under the administration of that great anointing, amen, that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and he come up to the man and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I, except a tape player help me to understand it? How can I accept some man? How can I accept some man? So it must not just have been an ordinary man. It must have been a man of the administration of the Son of. A man don't have that understanding. A man don't have that ability. But a man born again by the Son of God under the administration of the Son of Man becomes a packer of the Word. He becomes an enlightener. So he takes his seven seal book, his seven church age books, spoken words, original seed, after thy word, all these books that he's been reading for all these years, and that man anointed by the Son of Man makes real those quotes that he's been reading for years and years. Now he could quote them as good as maybe the other guy was, but this guy was a seed packer. Hey friend, I ain't nothing, you ain't nothing, but it just so happens I got seed in me. So if you need to be born again today, you come to the right place. The Word itself made flesh in you. You are the reflection of this hour. The messenger. Can't you see why Satan wants to stop message people on just the books and the tapes? That's many of their religion. It's not what they say so much. It's just the books and the tapes. They make an idol out of the books and the tapes. The books, the tapes, the books, the tapes. That's all well and good. But you've got to feed on that word and become the message. The word did not become tape. The word is becoming flesh. Sons of men anointed by the Son of Man. Not printing presses, tape players becoming sons of men. If a tape player could give birth, what do you reckon he'd give birth to? Tape player, of course. That's why those who spin them don't believe in preachers. If that's all they believe, they don't believe in preachers. Why? They don't see no need of it. So a tape player propagates tape player. That's why they're aiming at the young children of this message. That's why they're trying to get them in their camps and this and that and the other in order to infiltrate their mind while they're kids. Hitler done the same thing. It ain't nothing but an anti-God move against the word. Oh, Jesus, you're going to get me in trouble now, Lord. You know I'm a peace-loving guy. I never cause no problems and no troubles. Why in the world do you want to have me to say stuff like that? Oh, it ain't none of my business. All right, I'll go ahead and preach that. Notice then, the church will come through justification. Amen. Notice this. Oh, you imagine it came to justification of Luther, sanctification under Wesley, until he comes to where the word is made flesh. Now, can you imagine, Luther, that one little put, 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 that Luther had, it still allowed him to smoke a pipe and drink a beer while he's putt-putting. Putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt. Show me how message folks can drink. They're still Lutherans. Putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt. You ever get born again, you'll quit drinking, brother. Well, let me at least say it this way. You'll change brands. Hallelujah to God. But you know what? You've got so much horsepower. Lord have mercy. Sometimes it feels like our bodies is going to be changed while we're sitting here. Why? It's that hour. The attribute of the Son of Man is coming so close to the earth. We can feel the change coming on. So you are a reflection of the hour. The message, reflection of it. You live again. Live the life. You live again. You live the life. That was in Jesus Christ. You're in the presence of the Son. Well, Brother Donnie, don't all the rest of these people say they are? They do say they are. Do they understand anything about the Son of Man? Probably the majority of Christendom today wouldn't have a clue. It's sad to say, a lot of the message folks would. When you mention Son of Man, you know the first thing they think about? Brother Branham. That's exactly where Satan wants you to stop at, too. Look at these quotes I'm reading you. This is the very man that demonstrated that sign of the messianic sign of the Son of Man, telling us there's more to come. This is not just for me as the Malachi 4 prophet, but this is for the followers of the Word. The church will come through justification, through Luther, through sanctification, through Wesley, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the Pentecostals, and go right on into the perfection of the Son of Man. When husband and wife will be the same self person. You tell me that ain't greater than put, 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 put. You tell me that ain't greater than running, Brother Jim, and jumping and shouting, hallelujah, I can talk in tongues. They could do that and still not be this. Look what God is waving before us, and it took a revealing or a fresh waving of the Son of Man to bring the bride to this. Right on into the perfection of the Son of Man. When husband and wife will be the same self person, God will be so manifested into his prophet. his preachers, and to his bride, his church, till they will both be the same. They are one. Now you see where we're at. Hope you don't think I'm crazy. Notice there's no leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. The Son of God condescending from the eternal to become Son of God. Then he becomes Son of Man. Then he comes back on the day of Pentecost. What? The Logos again. Dividing himself. Like a fire, like a fire, like a fire. Revealed himself through the church ages. They put him out. He comes back again in the fullness of the attribute. This couldn't be said in the days of Luther. This couldn't have been said in the days of Pentecost. It could only be said when the Son of Man is back on the earth again. What did it bring? Not put, 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 a little faster. Put, 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 put. It brings the Son of Man. The attribute of the fullness, which was only in Jesus. Whew. Listen to this. Brought back the church together with the entire deity of God. It couldn't be done in the days of Luther's age. It couldn't be done in Wesley's age. In the Pentecostal, but in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed. Brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people, showing the same visible signs. Lord have mercy. Manifesting himself like he did at the beginning when he was manifested on the earth in the form of a prophet God. Healing signs, miracles, wonders, supernatural. Don't you never put them on a man. Well, our pastor's so anointed to pray for these people. Brother Darrell can do this and Brother Terry can do that. It is not Brother Darrell or Brother Terry or Brother Donnie. It is the Son of Man. And let me tell you this. He ain't just at Happy Valley. He's moving around the world wherever he can find a people that'll believe him. Oh, glory promised by Malachi 4, promised by the rest of the scriptures. Where you worship at the house of God. Seated in present tense. Notice the title of this sermon. God's only provided place of worship. And this same sermon where he says, God's provided place where him and his people are worshiped together. Glory to God. Brother Donnie, I can understand us worshiping him, but what are you getting at? What does he do? What's happening here in Song of Solomon? He's coming into his garden. He is adoring, loving, worshiping, if you will. What is it you felt when we was out here singing a while ago in the songs and the worship? What was going on? It was the mighty God among us. It was you giving him honey, him taking it. It was you giving him milk, him taking it. Him taking you into his arms and loving you and creating that atmosphere that you were sensing that was so powerful. Can I go a bit farther? Some say, Brother Anum is the Son of Man. Well, dear person, whoever it was that submitted this question, may I go ahead and add what you've said? They still say the same thing. Some say Brother Branham is the Son of Man. I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. Am I mistaken? Well, that's a good question. Very good. But I am not the Son of Man, but a Son of Man. That's the key to why Jesus had to become Son of Man. Had he called your name the way it should have been in the Garden of Eden, glory to God, you would have never been born in the sense that we are born today. You'd have spoken word children. So Adam, in a sense, wouldn't have been your father. He would have been your brother.
So when the head of the new race comes, what does he do? He says, I'm from the same source you're from. So instead of calling Jesus our Father in that sense, he says, call me brother. And I'll call you sister. Because you came the same way I did. You're not born in the sense of human thinking. You're expressed, not born. Lord have mercy, children. My sister, my spouse. Some of y'all looking at me like I got an egg on my face, but I know that ain't right. I hate them things. Notice, Jesus Christ was the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The Son of David.
Yes, sir.
The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. Notice, four dispensational claims in the order of sonship. The pillar of fire is the anointing. Now, this might go a little deep unless there be some of you theologians, Dr. Bale, probably brother here, some of these ministers from Arkansas, all my good friends around, they'd probably know. Now, the pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God. The Logos, which is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. Now, we can't do this. We can't do this. It's hard for us to even relate to it in our minds. We can't separate ourselves from ourselves and have something lesser of ourself go. But you see, that's exactly what happened in the days of Lucifer. They never had the fullness of the attribute. That's why they could be left in darkness. So as a portion of himself, a greater portion in Wesley, a greater portion in Pentecost, I hope you understand what I'm fixing to say. When the prophet was here and preaching these things, I wonder how many people sitting right there even comprehended what he was saying. Look at some of the questions they asked, and you can see what where they were. Look, the 70s and the 80s, how men come out and build their own kingdoms. And they come out and do this and that and the other. But look at where we are now. God's got men of God that are not interested in kingdom building. They are not interested in how big I am, how important I am. They are interested in helping you see who you are. Your position in the Word. Notice then, friend, we have come to a tremendous time in this message. Oh, Lord. Actually, the attribute of the fullness of God, when God become into a form which could be seen. Now unto the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be dominion and power and glory forever and ever. Remember, God is invisible, never has been seen and never will be. The anointing of the great Spirit that went forth, condescending, coming down, God the Father, the Logos that was up over Israel. He was holy, he could not bear sin. Oh my, that had to be a blood offering right in Eden. Then that Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. So Son of God, Logos, becomes Son of Man. Now, he had no earthly father, but he chooses to identify himself with this title, Son of Man. He was not a son of man, but yet he was the Son of Man. He was not a son of man, but he was the Son of Man. Lord have mercy. I'm going to go ahead and blow you away. Some of you think I'm nuts anyhow. It won't be long. It won't be long. You'll be able to say it. I am not the son of Charles and Allied Branham. Do you understand when you lose this glimpse of mortality, you lose all family ties to this earth? That you will no longer say, I'm the son of Don and Betty Reagan. That is not your pedigree nor your genealogy. Well, I'll let you think on that for a little bit. That Logos become flesh and dwelt among us, where this Logos had dwelt in a human body, which was the sacrifice. Now notice, let's jump on down here. When man was made in the image of God, then God came down in the image of man to redeem man. This is the reason, Son of Man. To redeem man. That he brought man and God together, heavens and earth, oh my, hugged and kissed each other. God and man embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship. How? Through the Son of Man. When the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. Now this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing, through the sanctifying grace of the blood, brought many sons of God, which is anointed with the... You mean that same Logos that come out of the Father in the beginning, the eternal, is right here in this building this morning. The same Logos that was on Brother Branham that anointed him to tell people their names and their addresses and the doctor they saw and all that, that same Logos is right here this morning. Children, I believe if we believe that with all of our heart, man, it takes something to keep us out of church. If we believe that pillar of fire is going to be here every time, I mean, it will take an earthquake, it will take a flood, it will take a thunderbolt, it will take something to keep you out of the house of God. Because you say, I ain't going to hear Donnie Reagan, I ain't going to hear Terry Horn, I'm going, I might see that pillar of fire. That Logos is going to be there. He said he would be. On the day of Pentecost, it came down, that pillar of fire, and broke apart like that. Tongues of fire set on each of them. Not their tongues, but tongues of fire set on each of them. An elected, selected group identified by this pillar of fire, showing that God had separated himself into man. Do you get it? God, the Logos, separating himself. Children, think of it. Please, please try. God separating himself into men. God, not in one person. He's in his church, universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works I do, you should do also. Now in the King James, I know it says greater, but in the Light translation, it's more than this shall you do. God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ. But now, he's bottled and confined in the whole universal church of the living God. Right now, while God is here speaking with us in our hearts, he's in Africa, he's in Asia, he's in Europe, he's in England, wherever believers are gathered together, there he is in the midst of them. I am not he. I am his servant. And the pillar of fire is not he. It's in spirit form, which is upon the Son of Man. Amen. And has come now to anoint sons of men. To do what? We'll close. To bring back a ministry. Who sit down and quit preaching and play tapes? Liar! To bring back a ministry just like he said it would be, in order for the head and the rest of the body to be connected together. The head is the Son of Man. In order to connect, you got to have two equal parts or they will not bond. So what does he do? He leaves the ministry of the Son of Man on the earth even after the prophet leaves. The anointing of the Logos, the pillar of fire, leaves that ministry of the Son of Man moving inside the body. What's it doing? It's bringing the elements of the epoxy, part A and part B, where they mix together and you merge the head in with the body. This ministry here believed the word, believed in preachers, cast out devils, healed the sick, and this coming up says stay home, play tapes, don't go to church. Liars. False prophets. False doctrine, error. I don't need to go to church. False prophets, you'll never go on the rapture believing that's right. But it must be the same ministry because it's part A and part B mixed together under the flow of the administration of the Son of Man. It's the Son of Man anointing sons of men. Oh, Brother Donnie, do you believe in the ministry of the Son of Man? I do. But I also believe in the ministry of sons of men. Let's stand. Only one's in time, Brother Daniel. Let's jump over a little bit. Paragraph 269. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. That's my prophet. That's my prophet. I ain't got time for a stuffed shirt. I don't care if he's a prophet or evangelist or whatever. I can't stand that stuff. No. This is the kind of man I can follow. Amen. I'm the only one that's near when he does it. I was the only voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I surrendered myself to. And he spoke to. Here's the key to every preacher. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no. It was the manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was the messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. Praise God. The Son of Man is Christ. He is the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Praise God. This is what we fed on here today. The unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Oh, I hope he lets you see it. You see it clear, I hope so. Praise God. Where are we? The final ones to come in. As I mentioned to you last night, Brother Mike, Brother Doug Baker over in Myanmar, over in Burma, and them places over there, going from one assembly of God school to another. No message church is really there. So they invite them to come in. They may live to regret it, but baptizing people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some of Brother Tim's brothers and Brother Tim's preached church in Louisiana and went to Japan. They sent me some pictures while they was there baptizing Japanese in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? The Son of Man is being waved around the earth. Who knows how many it'll take? Maybe one more here, one more there, three or four here or there. Look, friends, get ready. Don't feed on the personality of a man. Any preacher around this message, me included, that tries to build a kingdom around himself, forget it. Remember, every man who does that, Christ will consider that man an enemy. Every man who raised himself up in the days of David or Solomon or Josiah or any of those kings, they tolerated it not, and they considered them an enemy, and they annihilated them. Every man in this message who builds a kingdom and tries to get people rallied around him is an enemy to Christ. Why would I want to settle for a little bitty old Donnie Reagan kingdom with a few people following me? Why would I want to do that when I can be a partaker of the biggest kingdom that's ever been? The kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Son of Man, Lord Jesus, what a glorious weekend you've let us have. Mama, mighty God, you revealed yourself among us last night. The apocalypse of your divine truth. Here again today, you've illuminated it a little farther. I could see from the glisten in some of their eyes, from the illumination that struck the heart, they caught it. It was the same Father God who struck Simon Peter sitting in Caesarea Philippi that day. Except here we are, September 2017. Not in Caesarea Philippi, but in Happy Valley Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. And the same Father God dropped that revelation in the hearts of your children. Some of them in Georgia, some of them will listen to this in the Ukraine, in Russia, in Norway, in Africa, and around the world. Lord God, may that same Father drop it in their hearts and help them to see. It's not just important, it's not just alone that we have to see Jesus, but we have to see ourselves as well. Oh, Son of Man, reveal yourself to us. The attribute of the fullness has come back among your people. So the fullness of the Godhead bodily
back on the earth in bride form. A ministry that is going to produce Jesus Christ in the form of the bride. So the head and the body will be able to be united together. Praise God. We worship you, Lord God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. These aren't sermons to just make us rejoice when we're in church. But there's something we want to apply to our lives when we leave, Lord. Live through us. Talk through us. Let this message not just be on tape and book, but let it be in human form. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. We have this longing within us, this yearning. It comes from thirst. It's created by a holy desire within our soul. Runs in on the control tower. The control tower sends the signal that we need to pray, we need to read our Bible, we need to go to church, whatever the particular need is. Then it makes our body, our spirit, our soul begin to respond to the surge of the thirst. Then we go to doing something about it. Oh Lord God, we thirst for you. We hunger. We long for you. We know the word thirst means a painful desire. Lord Jesus, we long to see you manifested among us in a greater way. As your prophet said, we long to see them apostolic times. He said, we see it, but we long to see more of it. I don't want to just see miracles. I want to see you living through me. I want you in my life so much, Lord God, that when I'm out in the world, let them be able to sense something different. Lord Jesus, if somebody can see me in you, I will have filled out my life, have served part of its purpose. Grant it, Lord, I pray. How many feels that way today? You want people to see Jesus in you. Honestly, is that what you want? Look at me for a moment. I said the other day and performed Patrick's funeral. The sheriff of Washington County come up to me and shook my hand and said, you're an extraordinary man. Grabbed my hand, shook it, tears coming out of his eyes and said, I want you to know, I see the Lord Jesus in your face. I don't think I have ever been paid a higher compliment in my life. What could be said greater about you than people see Jesus? Hey friends, if it stops right here and only goes right here, I failed as your pastor. Or you failed to hear what I've had to say. God don't want it just to be here and stop. God don't want it in his prophet area and stop. God wants us to be able to be visible in you. And you operate your business and people say, you're different, you're honest, you're people of integrity. You do this, you don't lie, this and that and the other. God wants them, the message, to become manifest out here with our children, our grandchildren. Is that what you want? Where people can be able to look at you and say, you're different. What makes you different? Where do you go to church? What is it about you? What is it? You found the secret place. Amen. You may not be able to explain it. You may not be able to take quotes and scriptures and all that. But there's something about that life that speaks out. Amen. Let us make this our prayer this morning as we sing the song that we've been singing for the last few weeks. I want to go into your secret place. Hey, begin it with the first verse there. Let us just sing it together and make it not only a song, but our prayer. This yearning deep within me reaches out to you. Your oil of joy for morning soaks me, makes me new, and I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord. Have
fire, fire to my soul. Glory, consume my soul. Lord Jesus, take control, and I will go to your secret place, bow my knee. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Lord.
In my heart.
Oh, praise God. Amen. Let's sing it again. I will go. Oh, and I will go
to your secret place behind me, to your glorious heart. Have your way.
You, let us offer a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you know our many needs today. Happy Valley Church is far from being a perfect church, far from being a church without flaw, mistakes, and failures. But Lord, I believe some of your people are here today. I believe you have elect this body. It's up to you to determine, of course, who those are. I pray you'd help each of us, Father. You see our needs. You see our lives, our children, our grandchildren. Lord God, we desire to be able to reflect your greatness. May our boss that we work with, may the man, the woman, the kids we go to school with, my granddaughters, Lord, that go to ETSU, may people be able to see Jesus in their lives. Some of these other kids that go to Milligan or wherever it is they go to school. Lord, some of these adults that's taking schooling and some of these adults that's in public work, whatever more they do, may the Spirit of God so live out of their lives that people can see Jesus in them and long to be like them. Oh, grant it, Father. We love you, Lord God. May you anoint us today with your great life. To live, Lord Jesus, this word. Hallelujah. And I will go to your seat,
to your glorious throne, have your way in my heart. And I will go to your secret, bow my knee to your glorious Lord, have your way in my heart, oh Lord, have your way. I need you, Holy Spirit. Fire to my soul, consume my total being. Jesus, take control, and I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glory. Have your way in my heart, oh Lord, have your way. And I will go to your secret place, bow my knee to your glorious throne. flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. I will be your house to dwell in. Flow through me. I will be that good Samaritan to someone else in need. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. And love through me.
In today for Sister Jill Fleeman. Many of you know that she's been battling something in her body, and the Lord knows all about where she's at today. Carol talked to her yesterday. She really needs a touch from God. Our God specializes on such stuff. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for our Sister Jill Fleeman today. Lord, you see her needs. You know all about, Lord, what she's going through and what she's been through, Lord. And how difficult this has been for her and her family. Lord God, we ask you in the name of Jesus. We believe when we're brought on this earth, we're here to serve your purpose, and the devil can't take us till that purpose is done. Lord, when that purpose is finished, we're ready to go then. But Lord, until that hour arrives, we carry out general orders. And that is, we lay hands on the sick. We cast out devils. We stand in proxy for one another. Lord, may you move for our sister, I pray. May the Spirit of God move, Lord Jesus. We look to you, the Son of Man, the mighty God. Would you move for and touch her, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Live through me, Holy Spirit, live through me. I will be your house to dwell in. Live through me. I Come, sweet Jesus.
God bless you, saints. I'll see you Wednesday. Born in the fear of God.
We don't belong here now. I want to see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. I think.